Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, talking of living the life of your dreams can sometimes feel misguided and rather privileged, with so many just doing their best to simply get by. But what happens when someone just leans into what makes them feel truly happy, a little at a time, until it becomes the life they lead? Jeff Shapiro is based in Oregon. He's an elite level rock climber, an ultramarathon trail runner, a world-class hand glider pilot, a wingsuit base jumper, and a professional paraglider pilot. He's clearly a busy guy, and I'm so glad he's made the time for us. Jeff, you are very welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, it's great to meet you.
It's quite the CV. Like I said in my introduction, did you ever think you would have that list of accolades or endeavors to your name?
No. To be honest, all of those things have come fairly organically. I was always a curious kid, and I think attracted to adventure of some sort, maybe just for the exotic nature of being different than normal life, or feeling like I wanted something that was difficult to earn, or that you had to earn the right to experience. And I was always sort of taken by adventure, and I learned how to climb when I was fairly young. I think I really, really got into rock climbing somewhere between 12 and 14 years old. And by the time I was a late teenager, through climbing, I had met a friend who introduced me to flying hang gliders. And you know, the living in the era where you can run off the side of a mountain with a set of wings and fly away and sort of pretend to be a bird for a while just felt like magic to a teenager, and certainly was a way to live what I considered to be a dream at that time, and became a vehicle to travel the world and to be introduced to new culture and meet a lot of amazing people. And one thing sort of led to another, and through hang gliding I was introduced to wingsuit base jumping, and I've always continued to climb and have that be sort of a dominant feature in my life. But the human flight thing grabbed a hold of me, and I think over a number of years and a lot of hours in a hang glider, I wanted to experience a similar game but in a different vehicle, and that sort of brought me to paragliding. And now I fly airplanes, and I've had a fascination with birds. So yeah, none of those things were ever a goal in terms of making a living. They were always just these things that were incredibly fascinating and sort of organically turned into a way to keep the lights on and help take care of my family.
And I think there's so much, so many of us can learn from you. We might never engage in extreme sports, but that idea of perhaps feeling the fear and doing it anyway. I mean, you must have to really trust yourself to throw yourself off the side of a cliff that first time.
Yes, but I think it's also kind of a lesson towards this idea that if you have a dream or you have a goal in mind, to realize that it's just a series of baby steps, that if you just do the work, if you understand the process and all of the steps along the way that it would take to earn the right to do the thing, then it breaks it down into a task, you know, that is tangible. In other words, if I think of the summit, I never make it there. But if I think about putting one foot in front of the other, then not only do I usually have a better chance of, you know, sort of traditional success, but I also stay present and get to enjoy what is sort of most offered in that experience, which is every step of the way, right? Like the goal is never the goal. The goal is to grow as a person and to have those experiences affect you in a way that's applicable to the rest of, at least it has been to the rest of my life. So, you know, I think risk or doing things that are uncomfortable, whether you're successful or not, doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter if it's life or death, but what matters most is that I grow as a person, and that, you know, that allows for the humility to look at the world from perspectives other than my own. And I think that's been the most valuable outcome from most of the exploration that I've been fortunate to do.
And can you describe that feeling of human flight? What does that feel like? I'm not sure it's something I'll ever experience for myself, and I do wonder about spending that time in the sky.
Yeah. it's really hard to put into words. It's kind of like describing a sunset, you know. It's really hard to have it have the same impact or visceral impact that it gives you when you experience it. But it is a sense, for me at least, it's a sense of freedom, and I feel now like flying is, I mean, it's always kind of felt a little bit more natural than say, you know, other things that I've tried. So maybe there's a bit of sort of personal, you know, just a connection to that environment for me. But I would say overwhelmingly it's a sense of freedom. And I think also maybe letting go of expectation, because there's quite a bit of sort of, it's not uncertainty, but you know, certainly you're giving yourself into the moment, you know, in terms of like visceral experience. I mean, geez, you're, you know, I think as humans we live in an incredibly lucky time to be able to strap on a set of wings and fly around like a bird, especially the types of flying without an engine. And I do enjoy flying an airplane too, but there's a very, very unique sense of freedom when you jump off a cliff and open your arms and fly away. I think hang gliding is probably the most bird-like flight that I've experienced, but wingsuit-based jumping off of a cliff and flying with your arms, with yourself as the vehicle, that's sort of more the way I guess I've always dreamed of flying.
And did you have to learn courage and bravery as you went along, or did you always have a sense of that?
Well, I mean, I think courage and bravery is something that everybody has the ability to tap into in terms of these activities that involve risk and consequence. I think it's important, it has been important for me to understand the difference between real danger and fear and doubt. At first, when you know you're not super experienced, or when I wasn't super experienced at those, you know, that these activities, that line between those two descriptions was pretty blurry. But as you gain experience, it becomes a little bit more defined. And if I'm feeling those feelings that you feel regardless whether they're justified or not, I usually ask myself which one of those things it is. And if it's fear and doubt, what I'm scared of is something that hasn't happened yet. In other words, you know, a crash or a fall, or, and being scared of something that hasn't happened is irrational. So I accept the emotion just like any other emotion. And, you know, in the words of a friend, I stick it in a file, I kick it in the corner, and I give it the weight that it's worth, which is generally zero. If it's real danger, then it's important to pay attention to what it is that you should, you know, what that's driving that fear, and to try and use your training and your your skill set to make sure that the worst things that can happen don't happen. And that just takes, again, a lot of training. So I would say if there was real danger and I was feeling fear, then maybe it would be important to step back a little bit and do more training so that I didn't feel like I was, you know, in that level of danger relative to my skill set and my level of experience.
Yeah, no, that's so interesting, because really what I'm hearing from you, even though there's a sense of freedom to it, often it's calculated risk. You're still smart in what you do. But then I was reading that you were one of the first people to explore mountain flying with the hang glider in an area in central Nepal. So does that mean it's uncharted territory? So you're trying to figure out where you're going to land while you're still airborne?
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes doing first ascents in the mountains in the climbing environment, or flying into new places, going cross country in a paraglider or a hang glider in an area that you haven't been before or that no one has been before, I mean, there is a certain, I mean, for me, there's definitely a certain romance in having a completely uncertain outcome. Life is pretty sterile these days, so I like having the ability to do things where the answers aren't in front of me. I've never done anything that was super risky and just like hoping for the best. That's never been a strategy I don't think that would serve me too well. So in other words, I've never jumped off a cliff head first hoping for the best. It's always calculated. And I think that making decisions based on logic and linear knowledge and all of these things while paying attention to intuitive thought is also a good balance towards keeping yourself safe. But that all put aside, it is nice to have an adventure with an uncertain outcome. And you might think that those things sound contradictory, but they're not. You know, having the skills to be prepared for something and not having the answers as to where I might end up, you know, those two things can exist together. And to me, that's the kind of the best part of, you know, the best moments in life are the combination of those two things.
I was really drawn to one of the quotes that you gave at a recent interview. If you're doing anything other than seeking happiness from the time you're born to the time you die, you're wasting your life. And what does happiness represent to you? Because I suppose to some people it can be something fleeting, but you know, everything that you've said up until now, you know, that sense of adventure, that sense of challenging yourself, that sense of leaning in to what excites you and yet being prepared. Is that what you're alluding to there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think happiness is a place or a thing or a person. You know, it's a choice that we make. And for me, that takes remembering what I have and not being too worried about what I don't have. And, you know, I don't think that when I say, you know, when you said happiness is something that's fleeting, I think it is fleeting. I think it's always something that we're seeking. I want to say that another part of that quote that you might have read was that it's not my job to be happy, but it is to seek it. And what that means is, you know, I'm not claiming that I'm happy all the time. I feel stress and fear and, you know, all of the emotions like everybody else. That's part of being human. But what I mean is that I think a lot of people are motivated to make money or to have, you know, the illusion of security or all of these other things. And what I feel like applies to my life through my own experience is that life is short. None of us are going to make it out of this alive. We all are born and we all will die. And in the in-between, everything is a get to. I get to do these things. I get to experience. And sometimes those experiences are negative and they don't feel good and there's suffering involved. And that's okay. But it all leads to growth. And, you know, in that process, I want to learn how to appreciate what I have and to constantly try and make that decision to say, hey, I'm gonna react to the world around me in a positive way so that not only can I, you know, hopefully have a positive influence on the people that I care about most, but also so that I can utilize my time alive, you know, my time on this planet that I'm privileged to have, to experience the world in a positive way, as positive as I can. And I mean, to me, it's a pretty easy choice. I wouldn't want to sort of live a negative life. That seems like sort of slapping that privilege in the face or taking my life for granted. So that's at least a driving factor for day-to-day life for me, and also for the bigger picture from beginning to end.
And one of your big values now in life is giving back, either through philanthropy or passing on what you've learned to others. So how have you found this chapter in your life?
You know, it's wonderful. I mean, it's funny. I actually read, it was kind of a transcript from an interview, and the person being interviewed, I want to say they were a professor from Harvard, but they were saying that, you know, in these stages, I mean, say past the age of 50, that people who had, you know, experienced a lot in their lives, if they're on the right path, that maybe that was the stage at which they could sort of teach or give back. And, you know, there has never been any guide to that, this stage sort of happening for me, but it correlated, and it made me kind of smile, because I'm finding that I get a lot of satisfaction and fulfillment passing on some of the experiences that I have, that I've had, to say new pilots or people that are involved in some of the things that have been, you know, really passionate aspects of my life. It's been really fulfilling. And then, you know, the other part is that sometimes along the way, there's been some pretty hard lessons. And I feel like if someone asks, it's also a privilege to sort of support them by giving them some of my experiences. Not that, you know, it's anything more than exactly what that is, my experience, but if they can learn something from it and it'll apply to their life in a way that's helpful, then, you know, it's again, a privilege for me to be able to share that. So, yeah, it's an interesting time in life, and I'm enjoying it for sure.
If people want to follow Jeff and see some of the things he spoke about, you can get him on Instagram at Jeffrey Shapiro. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Claire. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's great to meet you, and it's a privilege to have a conversation with you.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.